In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A young boy came into his church, and from the distance, he saw what he really wanted to see that Sunday. The tall Christmas tree on the church's altar. And as he came closer, he looked it up, and there, sitting at the very top, was that glorious and bright angel. Every year, this angel appeared in that same important location. But what did angels really do, he wondered? Were they just nice churchly decorations, beautiful to see, but always sitting there only as this silent figurine? He had heard of angels many times in church, usually in music. At communion, he often heard the pastor say, with angels and archangels and with the whole company of heaven. But is that all they did? Just sing? We think of these special spiritual beings in many ways, often as powerful, heavenly soldiers sent to protect the faithful. Yet their very name in Greek, angelos, reveals one of their most important purposes, messengers. And not just any messenger with any message. It seems that only in certain occasions the Almighty sends them on such an errand. They come to earth from the very presence of God to deliver powerful, life-changing and history-changing messages of hope in our dark world. And because of these messengers and their special announcements, we do well to pay attention, special attention to them, especially when it concerns the very hope of our faith. Hope is one of the themes of the Advent season, and it's reflected in the blue pyramids, a color of encouragement in the dark months of winter's death. And this hope is highlighted by nothing less than God's own representatives from the very throne room of heaven. The first mention of angels in the Gospel of Luke is when Gabriel comes to an elderly priest by the name of Zechariah, as he's about his duties in the temple of Jerusalem. As we saw in our reading from Luke chapter 1, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were righteous before God and walking blameless in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they were people of faith, trusting in God's promises. Yet the very next sentence reveals a heavy burden in their lives. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. At some point, this couple had sadly concluded that their chance to be parents had passed. Little could they know that this lost hope would soon happen, and more yet, would place them in the middle of the greatest story ever told. Please read with me what the angel said. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will hear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Yet hope that seems denied can put up a wall of doubt, even in the face of heaven-born assurances. The writer to the Hebrews declared that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hope hangs on to unseen promises, but can do so only in Spirit-given faith. Hope hangs on to unseen promises, but it can do so only in Spirit-given faith. While Zechariah was a man of faith, his faith faltered when presented with what appeared as an unbelievable promise. The promise of a son in his very old age. Like many who encounter angels, Zechariah became troubled and afraid. He stood in the presence of God's holy messenger. He was like standing in heaven itself with all the holiness of the divine. But the angel did not come in judgment. He came to encourage and promise a gift. God had heard their prayer. Hope must know that God hears us, especially when years-long prayers seem to go unanswered. The angel told them that they would finally know joy and gladness, and that not only they, but many others will rejoice at the birth of their son. This child would not be just any child. This one would come in the spirit and the power of the prophet Elijah. Sent to call people to repentance and faith, their child would be a history-changing figure at the center of the story of the coming Messiah. John the Baptist, the one chosen to announce the arrival of Jesus. Wow. How would you react if an angel appeared to you and gave you such a message? Zechariah immediately challenged it with a question. How would he know this was true? And then he backed it up, his doubts, almost arguing with the angel, saying with the reality of his old age. And also the old age of his wife that certainly stopped the hope of conception. Certainly no one gives birth when she and her husband are this old. Nature argues against this possibility. It's a false hope. Only at this point of the reading, we hear the name of this important heavenly messenger that comes to challenge this doubtful priest. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. God had sent no less. Gabriel, the heavenly preacher, whose name means mighty man of God or God's hero. And he said, I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. Hinting at even some greater good news yet to come in Luke chapter 2. God knew Zechariah's doubt and disappointments, his whole life waiting for a son. Renewed hope would come only from God's special messenger who came from God's very holy presence. But even this would need an additional sign to meet Zechariah's faltering faith. He would not be able to speak until the day of the child's birth, and that would remind him every day of his unwillingness of to hope. But it would also remind him that his hope was reborn as he remembered the angel's words. Hope can be a difficult thing to keep alive. We always struggle to keep an optimistic outlook. Advent comes at a time of the year when nature seems to slow down and often appears lifeless. Experience tells us that spring is just ahead, but during a long, hard winter, it can seem as if it will never come. And as a result, it is a season of depression for many. We even have a name for the disorder: seasonal affective disorder. Seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, sad for short. Sad. Not all that we hope for happens, and is seen in our lifetimes. Disappointment cuts the heart of our hope. We assume that what doesn't happen in our time is just not going to happen forever. We struggle to see beyond today, let alone years into the future. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that even our forefathers died in faith, not having received the things promised. Yet the writer also tells us that they saw them and greeted them from afar. Faith must see things as God sees them, from His perspective, in the context of eternity. Thus, our faith clings to the Word of God, full of heaven-born promises, anchor in the eternal Jesus Christ. Abraham, who received a promise much like Zechariah, faced the same apparently unbelievable possibility of fulfillment. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 4 that in hope, Abraham believed against hope. In hope, Abraham believed against hope. His body was, as Romans says, as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. Sarah's womb, like Elizabeth, was barren. No earthly hope. Yet, faith believed against that dead-ended hope. Yet, he hoped based entirely upon what God could do. Anchor in His word of assurance. No distrust could shake Abraham, because Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what He had promised. Many of our hopes come from simple wishes and desires for temporary enjoyments. As we get older, we understand how to handle the disappointments that come when they do not happen. So our hopes are conditioned. You just know some things are no more than wishful thinking with little basis in reality. But some of our hopes arise out of moments of crushing crisis, like serious sickness and impending death. We need certain hopes to come true. We try to hope when disaster strikes and leaves our lives in shambles and shattered fragments. We pray fervently. We hope with every fiber of our spirit. We try to hang on to optimism despite repeated disappointments. Time passes. Hours turns into days. Days into weeks. Weeks turn into years. How long can we hope? But hope, born of faith, fights doubts only when it's anchored in Jesus. And such hopes go beyond our limited desires. Zechariah and Elizabeth could hardly imagine how their long-hoped-for son would become the very forerunner of God's own Son. they would learn that when God sends a heavenly messenger like Gabriel from the very presence of God himself, the promise will not be the foundation of small and limited hopes. You and I, as those baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, live within great and grand hopes, Christ-filled hopes, hopes that concern the defeat of death and the gift of abundant life. Therefore, Gabriel's message comes also to us and concerns each of us in our own disappointments. Look beyond this moment, the messenger tells us. Look beyond your own personal and limited desires. Look to the larger story, the greater plan. Look to the grand plans God has for you in Christ's death and resurrection. Plans like those announced to the prophet Jeremiah in his own difficult times. So please read with me those words. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me." Yes, God has plans for each of us as well. And these plans in Christ are always for our greater good. A good we often cannot even begin to imagine in the darkness of our struggles. The angel placed at the top of a Christmas tree may be mute, but the real angels coming during this holy season with incredible, life-changing, history-changing messages of true hope, they come to give us that hope. Gabriel's message of hope to Zechariah, even in the midst of his doubt, he also brought us life-changing and doubt-delivering hope. Gabriel's message of hope to Zechariah, even in the midst of his doubt, has also brought us life-changing and doubt-delivering hope. And because the angels, like Gabriel, come from heaven itself, the message they bear are God's very word, a word that comes from the very throne room of God to us. A heaven-born word of promise, a word with power to create faith, renew hope, and banish every doubt. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.